Welcome to Quantum of Solace from the Solace Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Al Smith. I'm in the studio today with David Robertson, and we have a special guest joining us, an American pastor called Nathan McConnell.
Well, we're going to discuss elections. We'll come on to the Scottish elections in a moment, and we'll come on to the Euro referendum as well. But let's talk about America.
When you go, will you send back a letter?
First of all, welcome to the programme, Nathan. Tell us, what's a pastor from South Florida doing here in Dundee?
Well, I am here serving Downfield Main's Church of Scotland, and my family and I live here currently. We've been here for 10 months, and we're reaching out into the communities on the north side of the city and making partnerships with those throughout the nation.
You're here as our resident American expert.
Uh-oh.
Because we, in Quantum of Solace, have often referred to the American presidential elections. And we have a significant number of listeners in the U.S., and quite often we get emails suggesting that we don't understand. So you are here to help us understand. You up for it?
Huge task. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, folks, the news this week is that Ted Cruz has suspended his campaign and that Donald Trump, barring some kind of miracle, is going to be the Republican presidential candidate.
Can you explain Donald Trump? Because to us, he's like a cartoon figure, not for real. He cannot be seriously taken as a presidential candidate. But now, of course, how did that happen?
I think Americans are as much befuddled as we are over here. But I would also say this, that there is a Republican establishment that after 8 years of having the Obama administration, they are just angry.
Yeah.
And you'll see this in a lot of the rallies. They're frustrated that their voices aren't being heard. And therefore, you see a rising. And frankly, it's them going after something that they haven't had. And they haven't had a voice that's speaking loudly on their behalf or what their perceived behalf is for a while.
Some sloppy journalism in the British press was saying, well, evangelicals were supporting Trump, thanks to people like Al Mohler and so on. We know that that's not the case. The majority of evangelicals don't support Trump. And evangelicals who do, I want you to explain this one to us, are evangelicals who don't attend church.
And when you don't go to church, you're not going to have the biblical teaching. And so what will happen is, especially in a younger generation and postmodern generation where they're picking and pulling from the mosaic of what they want to create their faith to be, then ultimately Donald Trump is a viable candidate and a viable evangelical for that matter, if that's how they built their evangelical Christianity. Adhering to somebody who doesn't believe in those doesn't really matter because they don't believe in them. At least I've mentioned that there's a number of times in which you look at the moral decisions the man has made and you say, well, they're not compatible with Christianity at all. Yeah. This doesn't make any sense. Why would he say these things? And I think that's what's baffling a lot of the Republican Party who happen to be sincere Christians, because any God-fearing, church-going evangelical is going to realize that God loves the people of the world. He cares for the foreigners. If people aren't going to church, then they're not going to learn the value of treating the foreigner with respect. They're not going to learn the value that abortion is wrong and against the word of God. They're not going to learn all of these different moral facets. Politicians in the United States will utilize the evangelical vote when they need it. And the evangelical vote is mysterious. The numbers are shifting and the demographics are moving, but it's a huge demographic. And if it is one, it can deliver up to 25 million.
Can I offer you another interesting thesis that I'm going to put it as a possibility, a proposition? I'd like to say it was mine, but it's not. But I can't even remember who I heard it from. But it's the suggestion that Donald Trump is what you get because of secularism. When you've got the salt and leaven of Christianity, then that kind of works in terms of the rabid left-wingers. It works in terms of the rabid right-wingers. But you remove the Christianity, rather than getting a secular nirvana, you end up with Donald Trump. You're left with a populist, nationalistic party stroke leader. Is that even remotely a possibility?
The man has created his whole life based around his own popularity. And from a standpoint of secularism. Yeah, it's a secularism that is veiled so often in speak that mobilizes and touches the masses.
This kind of like nationalistic populism that we're seeing grow, not just in the States. I mean, it's a pattern that's being repeated all across Europe too. I mean, what's at the root of this? I mean, is what we're seeing here just the natural consequence of God's wrath against sin? He's allowing the influence of genuine biblical Christianity to recede, and what remains is the problem of the human heart. You know, people are fundamentally selfish, so that's what leads to the rise in the populism, is because politicians are just pandering to that selfish nature that's on the rise within the electorate.
It is very disturbing.
And so the restraints are off. Really,
I don't think the restraints are off yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. But I'm thinking that this is a hint or an indicator of where we are going. I mean, I'm still incredulous.
We're watching Nation being given over.
Yeah,
we?
Yeah. I'm still incredulous at what America is doing to itself.
Tiptoe from your pillow the shadow of a willow tree and tiptoe through the tulip with me.
Let's come on to the European referendum. Now, I wrote a piece on this. I have my own views. There are Christians who are for staying in, and I have become one who's for going out. That's not the Solas position, by the way. We need to stress that. There are people who have different views. I have a friend who's very conservative who wants to stay in, and he's got a good case to make.
The big issue for a lot of people is TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. It's this trade agreement that's being done behind closed doors between the EU and the US. David Cameron was in the news again this week, stressing just how important it all is.
TTIP for me is the most worrying thing. In fact, I wrote a blog which has just been by far the most popular blog I've ever written on the EU, and TTIP was the main emphasis of that, and the lack of democracy. Well, in the providence of God, in this past week since I wrote the blog, there have been two bits of information that have come out, and again, we'll put a link to them because they're on a follow-up I did. One is an MSP who has seen what's involved and says that TTIP is not democratic, it's very secretive. And the other is Greenpeace.
Thank the Lord for activists sometimes, but Greenpeace have got their hands on a draft of the agreement and they've leaked it all across the internet.
And the bottom line is, this is going to allow corporations to sue governments. That's
for,
the big
for
thing.
For loss of profits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
That undermines democracy.
That is why President Obama came. That's why he went to Europe, because it takes one European country to stop TTIP. Now, the French are saying they're going to stop it. We'll see. As regards the Euro referendum, of course, there are those who say, we stay in, we're able to stop TTIP. We go out, Britain would go for it anyway. Well, Obama said we'd be at the end of the queue. So
what most Brits fail to understand about Obama is he can make these statements, but he has absolutely no power to go back and implement anything in
that's
terms
right,
of that.
Because
that's not his role.
Yeah. No, call me an old cynic. Go ahead, call me an old cynic.
You're an old cynic.
Well, I just think American politics is funded by corporations. Obama was funded by corporations. And Hillary's funded by corporations. Donald Trump is a corporation. I think that this payback time, I mean, he's just, they want it and he's there arguing for it. Sorry, corporate America, corporate Britain, corporate Germany, I don't care. I want a democratic country run by people, not corporations.
The SNP won the Scottish elections by a pretty comprehensive margin, actually, and Nicola Sturgeon will be the new First Minister of Scotland. David, we have a new Scottish government, not with an overall majority this time, but pretty close to it.
Indeed we do, and I'm going to read you part of a letter that I sent as moderator of the Free Church, not as Solas, but we can send them something on Solas as well. I'll miss out the first bit, which is basically about the Free Church congratulating her and wanting to work together with, you know, our congregations and so on. And that is there. I mean, we need to show respect to our politicians, and they are servants of God. I mean, I'm always intrigued. Paul in Romans writes about the authorities that be as being given by God. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the authorities that crucified Jesus.
What's scary when you think about that, actually, is even dictators and they're what's instituted by God.
Well, and you see what happens if you remove any authority. I mean, because you end up with a situation, you take Gaddafi out of Libya, you end up with anarchy.
And then you realise the wisdom of God, because he was actually just restraining an even greater evil.
And what I'm interested in is that we live in a democracy, and we as a church are part of that. And so this is what I wrote, as well as congratulating and showing some degree of respect. And asking to meet with her as well, by the way. So you can pray about that. I would like to highlight three areas of concern, perhaps best summed up in the words equality, diversity, and tolerance.
Okay. You're hitting all the political buzzwords there.
Yeah. Equality. We're concerned at the number of food banks and what appears to be an increasing gap between rich and poor within society. We appreciate your government's concern that decent housing, employment, and opportunities and education should be provided for all. We are not just concerned for ourselves. We believe that Scotland has many resources, and we would like some of these resources to be used to welcome genuine refugees from parts of the world where war has ravaged their lands and people who do not have the same opportunities we have. Number two, diversity. We are especially concerned about education. As you know, it has always been a fundamental belief of the Scottish Church that education is essential for the good of all. Knox's maxim, where there is a church, there should be a school, resulted in the Scottish people becoming one of the most educated and literate people in the world. We are concerned that that is changing, and especially that the poor are being denied the opportunities given by a good education. We know that you share that concern, and so we'd like to discuss with you one part of the solution. We believe that there should be more diversity and choice within education. It is wrong that the only people who get to choose are the wealthy, whether by sending their children to private education or paying the housing premium to live in an area with a quote-unquote good school. The one-size-fits-all of modern state education, where social engineering seems more important than education, is not working.
What about the one-size-fits-all morality that's potentially to be imposed through this education system?
That's right. That's the social engineering aspect.
Yeah.
We believe that children should be taught how to think and not what. That is why we would like to have the opportunity to re-establish Christian education and have schools based upon Christian principles such as equality, diversity, and tolerance. Speaking of which, tolerance.
What do you mean by tolerance? Are you talking the way that the politicians use it? Are you talking about real tolerance of other beliefs, of other worldviews?
Well, this is what I said, so which answers your question. We're also concerned at an increasingly intolerant, mocking, and authoritarian attitude towards those of us who don't accept the current moral zeitgeist on whatever happens to be the fashion of the metro elites. For example, you emphasized in your election campaign a desire to create a third gender and to encourage within our schools the view that children can choose their gender. We do not accept this and regard it as dangerous and harmful, with the potential to cause a great deal of harm to Scotland's children. Of course, we accept that there are people who feel that they are not the biological sex they were born with, and such people do need help and support. But accepting the unscientific philosophy that there are more than two genders, and that gender is fluid and something we choose, is something that is destructive to humanity. I suspect you may not agree, but what disturbs us is the lack of debate on this and other important subjects.
Or the lack of the ability to hold a contrary view.
View, exactly. We are just told by lobby groups that this is the right position, that anyone who opposes it is reactionary, right-wing, and regressive.
What if it's not compassion? What if it's the least compassionate thing you can do to indulge someone in the suppression of that biological reality? I mean, what if real compassion is patiently helping them to ultimately come to terms with biological reality?
Absolutely. And so I go on. We hope that in the new Scotland, opportunity for debate and discussion will be allowed so that ordinary people can have a say, even when it disagrees with what the self-appointed experts tell us. Again, we pray for you and your government, and indeed all our politicians. May the Lord guide, encourage, and bless you. I look forward to meeting you. Well, we'll see.
Well, going by what she said in a press conference from the Kelpies that was live streamed on Facebook on the Saturday morning after the election, she seems to be interested in looking to explore areas of common ground on the issue of education. So, you know, if she means what she says, then that's, Lord willing, maybe that's a meeting that will happen sooner rather than later.
But I also said yesterday that the government I lead will be open and it will be inclusive. It will be a government that reaches out and strives to find and to build on common ground. And I believe there is common ground to be found on education, on the economy, on the environment, and I am sure on many other issues. So that is my commitment, to work across party boundaries and to work above party boundaries in the best interests of our country.
You a Scottish nationalist?
I have no idea what I am, to be honest with you. And I've only been here 10 months, and I'm baffled so often by the way the Scots use politics.
Do you know what, David? See, if you do meet her, I think you two will get on really well.
We'll see. But again, as I say, interesting times. Interesting times where a Scottish government has been elected for, well, a third time as government in a system that was designed to prevent one party becoming the government, where an American TV reality star who's a serial adulterer, makes his money out of gambling, and doesn't stand for anything the conservative Republicans stand for, has become the Republican nominee. And where we find within Europe the most intriguing and fascinating things that we will discuss again in the next Quantum. Not least, the news that Turkey is about to be awarded visa-free status in return for refugees in Europe and all the implications that that has. So we thank the Lord that he is on the throne. Each time we are utterly amazed at what we are doing as human beings, but he is on the throne. God bless.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky, or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.